sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods. You're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, and here at the American Freedom Network, and for this morning, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution, and we're going to be talking about what makes America different than other nations. I mean, every nation has a structured society, but only America has the Constitution that limits the power of government so men could be free. America is not a democracy, no matter what President Obama says, no matter what you were taught in school, and no matter what all of our politicians say. All you have to do is read the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist Papers, and you'll never see the worst use of the word democracy other than to decry it. I'd say the last thing we want is a democracy. We are to be a republic where we are ruled by law, where the power of the federal government is to be limited by the chains of the Constitution. Now, a subversive element has seized control of our government and doesn't believe in that. They're centralizing all power with Washington, D.C., and using the financial and military power of the United States to force other nations to under a world government control. And believe me, we have our troops stationed in 130 nations today. We have over 1,000 foreign military bases. The average individual has very little idea what's going on. And an awful lot of people don't care because we have such a wonderful, wonderful life. But I can assure you it's coming to an end very soon if you and the other people listening to this program don't get involved in this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Pastor David Whitney, you pick up the story.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a blessing to be with you and knowing that the restoration of our republic is possible because the document still exists in spite of the fact that it's violated and ignored and rejected and vilified by so many in positions of power. It is still the supreme law of the land, and therefore anything made in violation of it is really not law. It's just pretended legislation, which is what our founders' phrase was in the Declaration of Independence when the king, acted on something that he claimed was law, but they knew was in violation of the English Constitution or in violation of the Englishman's Bill of Rights or the Magna Carta or any of the other legal enactments. They knew the king's pretended legislation was not law. They were not obligated to obey it. As we've shared, the founders were very, very careful in constructing our constitutional republic, so careful that many of them were very even leery of the seven articles of our Constitution, and they demanded that a Bill of Rights be crafted, or else they would not have ratified the Constitution as it stood. And that's the very first thing. Once the Congress met, they ratified a Bill of Rights, and that Bill of Rights we have looked at, and it further restricts the federal government in its actions and further places binding on them as to what they can do and what they cannot do. Now, when we step beyond the Bill of Rights into the 11th Amendment, we find that in many ways, most of the subsequent amendments are expansions upon the power that we the people have granted to our federal government. And that's a dangerous thing. Anytime you expand the power of a government, you can be sure that they will certainly fill that expansion you provide for them, and they're likely to even go beyond that expansion. Well, let's look at the 11th Amendment, ratified in 1798, and refers to lawsuits against the states. The judicial power of the United States shall not be construed to extend to any law, any suit in law, or equity, commencing or prosecuted against one of the United States by citizens of another state or by citizens or subjects of any foreign state. So it's saying that in federal court, you cannot sue a state suppose you enter into a contract. Well, let's say you're a road builder and you're going to build a brand new road for the state of Missouri, and you enter into a contract, but you're not a citizen of the state of Missouri. Your company isn't a resident in Missouri, but you enter this contract. What the 11th Amendment permits the state of Missouri to do is to violate that contract and not face any consequences for it. They cannot be taken to court unless they agree to be taken to court for violations of contracts that they have entered into. So this 11th Amendment says that states may not be sued in federal court by citizens of another jurisdiction without the consent of that state. And so clearly what this is amending is Article 3, Section 2. Article 3 deals with the judiciary, and Section 2 talks about allowing exactly such suits to take place where and that was actually one of the purposes for which the federal court system was established, that suits from a citizen of a different state against a state in which they're not a resident could take place at the federal level. And so this actually resulted from a lawsuit that was early on in the history of our country, Chisholm v. Georgia in 1793. And what it was is Alexander Chisholm was the executor of the estate of Robert Farquhar, who had attempted to sue the state of Georgia in the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, over payments that were due him for goods that Farquhar had supplied Georgia during the American War for Independence. So he had supplied these goods, made a contract with the state of Georgia. The state of Georgia agreed to pay him back for the goods that they received from him. And then once he died, the executor of his estate attempted to collect on that debt from the state of Georgia. The state of Georgia said, hey, we don't have to pay this debt. That contract we don't consider valid. And so they simply did not even show up in court. Georgia refused to appear, declaring that as a sovereign state, they didn't have to appear to hear a suit against them that they did not consent to. And the Supreme Court decided in favor of Chisholm in this case, stating that, you know, hey, you entered into a contract. Your contract is binding as a state, just as if you were an individual. And therefore, the state of Georgia was forced to pay that. And so Georgia got a little upset and then got enough of the other states to agree with it to remove the federal jurisdiction in cases where the citizen of one state attempts to sue a state in which they are either not a resident or not a citizen. So in a peculiar, you might say there's two edges here. One edge says, well, there's a positive side of this that is state sovereignty. The states are claiming sovereignty that the federal government doesn't have control over them. But I think that's not as powerful an argument as the other. What this is permitting is human civil government to enter into contracts that they proceed to freely violate. And, you know, that's a kind of shot across the bow. If they can enter into a contract with whatever, in this case, having goods supplied to the army for fighting the war for independence, and then they renege on the contract and say, we're not going to pay you for all those things you gave to us. We're just going to take them from you. Isn't that theft?
Hold that thought, David. Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. The American freedom enough.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear Up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
You can buy gold just about anywhere in the world from all kinds of different dealers. So why do you use the Patriot Trading Group?
20 years of service, just like that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, just like that. Lowest prices, just like that. No solicitation, just like that. Buying or selling, just like that.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. Just like that.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the America Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney. David, pick up the story.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. So the 11th Amendment is really an expansion of power, not so much on the federal level. It's sort of restricting the federal government from allowing to hear cases between a state and a citizen of another state, but it really is an expansion of power on the part of the state, saying that they can violate their contracts they enter into with impunity as long as the people they're entering the contract with are from another state, another jurisdiction. So I in my opinion, that's not exactly a good thing to be doing, giving government the power to violate the contracts that it may enter into. It gives an indicator to me of what has happened in America when you consider the contract, not just with an individual that a civil government enters into. Let's consider just for a moment the contract that we the people have entered into in creating our civil government. That's called the founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, subsequent amendments. We've entered this contract with them. And they indicate here in the 11th Amendment that, oh, it's okay for government to violate its contracts, kind of a hint of what was to come. Indeed, what we have seen in the history of our 200-plus years of the Constitution is our federal government has gone, way overboard in violating its contract with we the people, and it's time for us to put a stop to that violation of contracts. Well, moving on to the 11th Amendment, from the 11th Amendment, excuse me, to the 12th Amendment, which was ratified in 1804, and it deals with the Electoral College. Now, we do need to recall, because popular understanding of the election of the president today really does not understand why the Electoral College was in place. It was that you do not vote directly for the president. Instead, you vote for your state electors, who then in the Electoral College are going to cast their ballots, and it's their ballots that determine who becomes the president. So it's not a popular election. It's you and your states electing those who are representing you in the Electoral College that are going to choose the president. The reason for this was, as with the original design for the Senate was appointed by the state legislators. That is, the Senate was under the control of the state. It was there at the federal government to be a check from the states against the federal government usurping and abusing the powers were granted to it under the Constitution. So just as there was a state control over the legislative branch through the Senate appointed by the state legislators, so also there was a state control over the executive branch. That ultimately, if those leading the state, those legislators in the state, determined that what was being decided in the popular election was not in the best interest, they could override even the popular will in the Electoral College. So the state legislature had enormous power over the federal government, both at the legislative branch as well as at the executive branch. That was the original design of the Electoral College. The thing changed by the 12th Amendment is how specifically the president was elected and the vice president was elected. This actually amends Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, and that provided that electors should vote separately for president and vice president. You see, the old design was that as the votes were cast in the Electoral College, the highest vote getter would become the president. And then the second highest vote getter in the Electoral College would become the vice president. So quite clearly, this meant that president and vice president were political opponents. They were running against each other in the election, and people were choosing one or the other. And so it was set up some unusual circumstances, not really in the first two terms. President George Washington had a unanimous election in both of his runs in the Electoral College. And there was really no competition with his vice president, who was John Adams. But when John Adams ran for president in the first election following George Washington, there was a good split that took place, and clearly John Adams came out on top. However, in the next election, the second time John Adams ran for office as president, it didn't come out except in an even split in the Electoral College between Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. Now, the interesting thing to note is the vice president, while John Adams was in his first term, the vice president was Thomas Jefferson. So you hear you had the vice president running against the president in the 1800 election for that high seat. And actually, it was a three-way split because it was not just John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. Aaron Burr was also part of that election. It's a fascinating account. Our Constitution says in Article 2 that if there is a tie in the Electoral College, as there was, then the decision as to who becomes president is turned over to the House of Representatives. And the House takes votes to determine president and vice president. Well, it just so happened that the tie was not broken in the House. It took more than 100 ballots cast to determine that Thomas Jefferson was going to be the president and not John Adams. Quite a contentious election took place in 1800, and so this amendment changed that whole system. Instead of voting for individual, top vote getter becomes president, second place becomes vice president, essentially a slate was created whereby you're voting for president and vice president together. And so the vice president and president are no longer in competition, are no longer political opponents. So the election exposed, that 1800 election exposed what some would say was a flaw in the original Constitution, and that the Electoral College members could only vote for the president. And now they voted for vice president and president together as a result of the 12th Amendment. So you might think, well, in light of what took place there in the 1800 election, this is a good idea, that we don't have the vice president and president opposing each other in the election. However, there is another view of this that I think carries some significant weight, and that is it shows the expansion of the power of the executive branch. Because when you had vice president and president opposing one another, sometimes they didn't even agree. And for example, Thomas Jefferson as the vice president of with John Adams as president, they disagreed vociferously on various issues, and so much so that John Adams sometimes was ignoring Thomas Jefferson, and they were at odds with each other. So there was a division, you might say, within the executive branch because they were not in agreement with one another. They were not on the same page. They were not in the same party. Well, what happens when you put them both on the same page and in the same party? What you do is you coalesce more power in the executive branch. Now, of course, the 12th Amendment, that's only a small step. But if you look at the history of the expansion of the power of the executive branch in the history of our country, it is not a good thing. We've come down to the tyrannical day where basically Obama, the usurper in the White House, declares, "I am the law. I can ignore the legislative branch. The executive branch is supreme. What I say law is, that's what it is." And he's not just mouthed those words. He's obviously been practicing that regarding Obamacare, the timing of when this and the suspension of that, and just doing all sorts of things that if that were legally law, that Obamacare bill, which it's not constitutional law, but if it were, suppose it were constitutional, he is acting in a completely arbitrary, capricious, tyrannical, monarchical fashion regarding himself as the creator of the law and the determiner of the law, and he can alter and amend the law anytime he chooses. Well, so we have seen the extreme expansion of the executive branch power, and the 12th Amendment, you might say, kind of started the ball rolling. It's certainly not the only factor, but it was one factor, because when you put the politicians together in agreement with one another, president and vice president, you create more power. And by the way, the outcome of this 1800 election and this 12th Amendment furthered what was already developing that George Washington warned us against in his farewell address. In his farewell address, he warned us against what he called factions.
really what we today call political parties. They actually warned us very, very strongly that factions would destroy our liberty, would destroy our form of government, because the factions would take over and they would just be all interested not in the good of the people, but rather in the good that they're in the continuing growth of the power of their party. And certainly we have seen that today with our two-party system that some have called a duopoly, that, you know, both parties are, you think maybe they're opponents to one another, but if you look at the overall policy and the overall direction of our federal government, it's all going the same way, whether it's Democrat or Republican, and there's not a dime's worth of difference quite often between them. There may be with individual candidates, but the party system as a whole has proven exactly what George Washington warned us about. And, by putting president and vice president in one party here in the 12th Amendment, not only were we expanding the power of the executive branch, we were also furthering this system of factions that George Washington warned us would be very detrimental to our country. And indeed, the history of it proves that George Washington was absolutely prescient in that warning to us. Well, there, in the history of amendments, there was a long period of silence here, because 1804, the 12th Amendment, another amendment that is in our Constitution currently, isn't until 1865. And if you think of that date, that is the end of the war between the states, or the war to prevent Southern independence, whatever you might like to call that. But the 1865 13th Amendment, in this amendment, slavery was abolished, we are told. But notice the text and the language here. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Let me pause for a minute before I talk about what it is actually saying to ask the question, why was the 13th Amendment necessary at all? After all, this is after the death of Lincoln. Lincoln has been assassinated at this point in time. And everybody says Lincoln was the great emancipator. Well, wait a minute. Didn't Abraham Lincoln free all of the slaves with the Emancipation Proclamation? Well, if he did, and all those slaves were free, why do we have to have an amendment to the Constitution that states they're free? Didn't the Emancipation make them all free? The answer is no, it did not. Most people have heard a lot about the Emancipation Proclamation, but have never read the text of that document, because it states in that document that slaves in the areas controlled by the North, states like Maryland, where I live, Maryland had plenty of slaves. The Emancipation Proclamation did not free one slave in the state of Maryland, did not free one slave in any of the states that were not part of the Confederacy. And in fact, the states where the Union Army had already conquered and the Union Army already controlled, for example, in Louisiana. The slaves in Louisiana and the areas controlled by the Union, those slaves were not freed as well. The Emancipation Proclamation essentially only freed slaves in the territories not yet conquered by the North. Well, that's kind of odd. Because that would be like saying, we're going to tell another government, we're going to tell the government of Canada, for example, we're going to tell the government of Canada that they've got to free all their slaves. Well, we don't have any power or authority to do that. If we conquered them, okay, yeah, well, then you can set the slaves free, but you can't set the slaves free in a land that you do not yet control. And so, in essence, the Emancipation Proclamation was a beautiful piece of political rhetoric, but it did not free any slaves. And, you know, I know when I say that, people say, ah, David, you're crazy. We don't believe you. Well, go ahead and take a look at least what most people would consider a neutral source of information, and that is the National Archives. Go to their website, look up the page on the Emancipation Proclamation on the National Archives website, and they will tell you exactly what I just said. It did not free the slaves in the North. It did not free the slaves in any area controlled by the Northern armies. It only freed slaves in the areas they did not yet control, they had not yet conquered. And, you know, Lincoln hoped for a slave uprising that would somehow help end that war, and that slave uprising that he envisioned never materialized. And so it was only a useful political document in that it kept some European powers that were considering siding with the Confederacy in that war. It kind of kept them out of the game. And in that sense, I guess you'd say it's a politically successful document, but it did not free the slaves. So in order to free the slaves, after Lincoln was dead, then they had to enact this 13th Amendment in 1865. But this 13th Amendment, we're told, abolished slavery. Now, wait a minute. Look closely at the text of those words. Yes, it abolished certain types of slavery, but there's a big word, except, in the middle of that statement. Except those who, as a punishment for crime, were of the party. Except those. They were not freed.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
You can buy gold just about anywhere in the world from all kinds of different dealers. So why do you use the Patriot Trading Group?
20 years of service, just like that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, just like that. Lowest prices, just like that. No solicitation, just like that. Buying or selling, just like that.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592, just like that.
Avoid being bitten by the cold and flu bug by increasing your body's own defense system. Call me, Julie Formby, Certified Master Herbalist, for a free 15-minute phone consult and save 20% off three powerful products that protect you against colds, flu, bacterial infections, viral outbreaks, and will drive down fevers. Your free new vitality consult and a 20% product discount is for a limited time. Call 970-203-9540. That's 970-203-9540.
Empire Irrigation in Greeley reminds you to salute the fighting men and women of the United States military. Let's make sure they know how much we appreciate them for putting their lives on the line. Our support can truly make a difference for our American heroes. This message is from Empire Irrigation at 2303 2nd Avenue in Greeley. Call them at 352-4000. That's 352-4000. They're proud to honor Staff Sergeant Thad Harvey for his service and for his dedication.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Chad here at the American Freedom Network, I guess. David Whitney, and before we go on, David, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, get a kit, and start teaching the Constitution so we can begin to move America away from the move toward dictatorship back towards freedom. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, we know that the tool, the most important tool, where it has to begin is education. That is, each of us need to understand the biblical view of law and government, which is that American view our founders held. We need to be able to articulate that to others. And so we've put together a training method. We call it our host kit, because you're not actually teaching the Constitution. You're hosting a class that teaches it with 12 lectures that walk through the biblical foundations, the American view, the philosophy of government of our founders, answering questions like, what's the purpose of government? Where does law come from? Those kind of essential questions. And then walks you through to develop a working knowledge of the founding documents of the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the subsequent amendments. Essentially what we're doing here in this series of radio shows is what that course walks you through, the entire course, and then gives answers at the end of where to from here. How do we recapture? And it begins with education. It doesn't end there, but that's the first step. Because if we go off, and I had a group of pastors I had the privilege of spending some time with the past 2 days down in Washington, D.C., and talking with many of them, encouraging them that they need to be training their people in this biblical understanding of law and government, and training their people so that they can take action. Because if they're going to run for office, they better really understand these founding documents. This course is available. You can either call us toll free to purchase your copy of this and start a class in your community. And that toll free number for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. That toll free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. Or if you prefer, you can go to our website, theamericanview.com, theamericanview.com, and there you'll see courses is one of the buttons right at the top of the page. Click that, and you'll see the U.S. Constitution, and click that for all the options in terms of the ways in which you can take this course. But we know that the way we can take America back, and it's essential that we understand this, the first step in recovering our country is recovering that worldview that our founders held regarding law and government, and a working knowledge of those founding documents. Because if someone comes to your door asking for your vote, as someone just did this past weekend at my home, asking for your vote, the first question I ask them is, can you tell me, sir, what is the purpose of government? And they kind of look stunned, kind of deer in the headlights look like, well, I've never been asked that question before. Let me think about that. And they didn't have a ready answer. In fact, the answer they gave was really not a good answer, kind of like the socialist answer. Well, government's there to do for others what they cannot do for themselves. Oh, rubbish. That's not what our founders said. So I kind of gave them our founders' worldview. Then I asked them the next question, where does law come from? Oh, again, he failed that question. And so I gave him some reading material and told him, I want to talk to you further. But after you've read the U.S. Constitution through, and after you've read the Maryland Constitution, let me talk to you further, and I'd be glad to vote for you if you hold to the founders' view of law and government and you're willing to abide by that when you take your oath of office and when you're in office. So we can make the impact, a great impact, but we've got to have that information ourselves. We've got to know it. We've got to be able to articulate it to others, and that's what this course does. For Americans and Dr. Stan, I was very encouraged as I met with this group of pastors. There were one couple from Ohio that not only graduated this couple back in January, so they were at graduation there, and which means they took the course. But then when I saw them here in D.C., we had a great conversation, and they're planning now to host a course of their own. Having graduated, they recognize what they learned. They need to get as many other people in their community to learn these things there. I met another couple from Virginia, down Virginia Beach area, who are just finishing the course. I'm going to go down there in 2 weeks and graduate their class. And very excited. They are just loving this material. They have read the Constitution before. They are not coming at this with ignorance, but they love the way that it's been taught and how it's helping them articulate our founders' view of law and government. So we're so pleased, Dr. Stan, that all over the country, people are taking the course and conducting it in their neighborhood, in their churches, in their community centers, and raising up a body of citizens who get it, who understand that to restore America, we've got to restore the mindset of our founders, that is an American view of law and government. There is a creator God. Our rights come from him. They don't come from government. And then the third point being that the sole purpose of human civil government is to secure and protect God-given rights. That alone. When we were there together, this group of pastors, we were hearing from senators and members of the House of Representatives, some, very notable folks like Michelle Bachmann, a very good speaker, and many of the others. But in questioning them, and some of the questions asked were very pointed on the Fourth Amendment, what about these violations of the Fourth Amendment of the NSA and so forth? We heard the wrong answers. We heard the unconstitutional answers. Well, you know, there's a war on terror going on, and, you know, we're just after the bad guys. You got to trust us. Wait a minute. What they were saying to us is, you've got to trust us. We're violating the Fourth Amendment. We know we're violating the Fourth Amendment, but this is a time of war. Don't you understand? You know, we got dangerous terrorists out there, and we're not really going after you guys. We're going after the bad guys. It's like, well, we're being lied to. And I knew we were being lied to, and maybe some of the others in the audience understood that that was the case. But the truth of the matter is, some of those people we heard from do not hold the American view of law and government. They do not believe the founding documents, and they are showing that they are tyrants. And I'm sad to report that, because I respect some of these representatives and senators, but hearing them answer questions did not leave me very comfortable with the current representation that we have down there in Washington, D.C. these days. But we can make a change, but it's got to start at home. Got to start with us learning these founding documents, and then leading us to affect as many other people as we can, influence as many other people in our circle of influence that can change their thinking to the American view of law and government, returning them to a founder's view. And then once it comes to the polls, then we've got to choose those we vote for that are going to uphold the American view, that understand what the purpose of government, understand where law comes, all those essential questions. And this course will do that for anybody who takes it on. So we challenge our listeners, you know, get a host kit, call us. Our toll-free number is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution, 1-866-730-9796. Or go visit our website, theamericanview.com. TheAmericanView.com. First page, just click on courses and you'll see the options, not only our U.S. course, but the jury course and other courses that we're offering as well. Well, as we've talked about the 13th Amendment and the fact that the Emancipation Proclamation didn't free the slaves, but this amendment did. And it was interesting to see the courts as they wrestled with what the meaning of the 13th Amendment was, particularly in a series of civil rights cases in the 1880s.
Hold the thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. And Pastor David Whitney from Tennessee.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, you have the will, the skill, and the gear. Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
Avoid being bitten by the cold and flu bug by increasing your body's own defense system. Call me, Julie Formby, Certified Master Herbalist, for a free 15-minute phone consult and save 20% off three powerful products that protect you against colds, flu, bacterial infections, viral outbreaks, and will drive down fevers. Your free New Vitality consult and a 20% product discount is for a limited time. Call 970-203-9540. That's 970-203-9540.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Thank you.
Pastor David Whitney, go right ahead.
Well, we were saying before the break that there was a series of civil rights cases that came before the Supreme Court in the 1880s, the early courts ruled that the 13th Amendment simply abolished the institution of slavery. It did not abolish forms of segregation or forms of discrimination. It's not saying that that's right, that it was proper to discriminate, but it was saying, well, the text of the 13th Amendment makes no mention about the badges and incidents of slavery. However, there was one dissenting justice, Justice Harlan, and he dissented and said that, well, this amendment did more than just abolish slavery as an institution. It also abolished the badges and incidents of slavery, he said. Anything that's reminiscent of the slave era, segregation and so on, was abolished by this 13th Amendment. Well, I'm sorry, but I look at the 13th Amendment that simply says neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, and then the exception being that although private slavery has been done away with, government slavery has not been done away with, because that except clause, the except as a punishment for whereof the party shall have been duly convicted. In other words, the government can run a slave operation, and by the way, it does. We have the biggest slave prison population per capita of any nation in the world. That's astonishing. There are more people in prison per capita in these United States than in communist China or Russia. Or you pick whatever country you want to refer to. You think of the most totalitarian and extremely oppressive country in the world, Cuba or something. There are fewer people per capita in prison in those countries than there are in the United States of America. Well, something's wrong with that picture. Part of it is that is a very profitable business. That's right. Our prison system is a very profitable business, not just those building the prisons, those using that slave labor that they have available in prison to produce whatever goods or even services. I know sometimes you get on the phone, you're talking to somebody in prison. You don't know that, but they're being used as a phone supervision and so on. So there's a huge profit margin going, profitable business going on in our prison system, and that's slavery. But it's government-run slavery. Private slavery was really the only thing abolished by the 13th Amendment. That'll kind of give us a little pause to say, is that a good thing? Government running a slave business, even though certainly there are people who need to be in prison because they are violent offenders, but there's a lot of nonviolent offenders who are just there because they owned had a certain amount of marijuana or some other drug on them that's declared, well, that's a cause for you to be thrown in prison. Well, it may not be the best solution for society to deal with this, but the 13th Amendment only abolished private slavery. And Justice Harlan, his dissenting opinion that said, well, the badges and incidents of slavery, they are also abolished by the 13th Amendment, which I don't read in the text of this amendment at all. But nonetheless, his dissenting opinion, although in the minority in 1883, became the majority opinion by 1968. And his dissenting view in Jones v. Mayer, in the case in 1968, stated that the badges and incidences of slavery were also abolished by the 13th Amendment. In other words, they expanded the meaning of the words of the 13th Amendment to say something, well, that the 13th Amendment didn't say. And we see this taking place all the time as judges reinterpret the words to say what they obviously do not say. One other very important thing to note about the 13th Amendment is the final phrase of the 13th Amendment. Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. This is a vast expansion of power given to Congress, because who determines what appropriate legislation is to enforce this 13th Amendment? Who decides what's appropriate? Well, Congress does. So Congress gets to choose how much to expand its power, and it gets to choose what's the appropriate expansion of that power. Essentially, what we have here is a blank check. And it's not just the 13th Amendment that contains this phrasing. The 14th Amendment does, the 15th, the 18th, the 19th, the 23rd, the 24th, and the 26th all contain this exact same phraseology, which means anytime Congress wants to expand their power, they just have to look to one of these amendments. Well, you know, the 14th Amendment says this, and we believe appropriate legislation to enforce the 14th requires whatever it is, you know. So here we've described before the Bill of Rights as a wall that surrounded the playing field, which the seven articles of our Constitution play on that playing field, and a wall, brick-thick wall, surrounding
the Constitution was made by the Bill of Rights, the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, the 15th, 18th, 19th, 23rd, 24th, 26th, all of those amendments punch huge holes large enough to drive a tractor trailer truck through in the Bill of Rights, allowing the federal government to expand its power enormously. And this explains a great deal of what's happened in America today. Because if you understand our founders' view of law and government, if you understand what they put on paper and what they intended and what they structured in the text of the Constitution itself, and you see what we've got today with the absolute out-of-control federal government in every way, shape, and form, and you wonder, how in the world did we get from the founders to this mess that we're in today? Well, that vast expansion of power and the reinterpretation of words and making words say things they never were designed to say, that's how this vast expansion of power has come upon our land. But the good news is it can be all put back into the box. That's right. Although Pandora's box was opened and all this power, that power can be put back into the boundaries that were created by our Constitution. However, it takes people who are committed to that vision of restricting government to the original contract that we had with it. Now, one wonders about this issue of slavery. We've talked about the prison population already and the fact that the federal government runs the biggest slave operation in the world, as well as state governments and local governments are part of that as well. But let's think about this issue of slavery in a different light as well, because involuntary servitude would say that, you're being forced to do something that you don't agree with and you don't comply with, and you don't voluntarily go along with it. Well, isn't the income tax a form of involuntary servitude? It is, after all, conscription of a percentage of your labor. I'm told that the average American tax freedom day is way down in July or maybe even into August. For the average American, they work the first 6 plus 7 months of their year to fund the federal, state, and local governments that take it out of their paycheck. Well, isn't that a form of involuntary servitude? And how about, here's one that's even more clear. How about the draft? I know we don't have a draft currently, but there's certain rumblings going on of creating a draft again. Is that not
David,
a form of
time,
involuntary
we'll
servitude?
We'll talk again real soon. God bless. Thanks for all your...
God bless you, Dr. Stan. Thank you so much for your work.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you and is just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop wants to remind you that drinking and driving should never be combined. There will be many opportunities to drink during the holiday season. Plan ahead. If you're going to drink, don't drive. This message is brought to you by Fort Collins Radiator Shop at 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, call 482-6783. They have over 47 years of experience. They're family owned and operated, and they're on the air because they care.
We have a real problem in America because we have
two political parties that are controlled by the same people. And basically, have you noticed how the Republicans are sort of caving in on the issue of Obamacare? How they're sort of trying to figure out how they're going to get along with certainly amnesty for illegal aliens. You must understand that there is a secret group in America. Their goal is a one-world government. They want, of course, to unite Mexico with Canada and the United States into the United States of North America, just as we have a United States of Europe, and they're doing the same thing all throughout the world as we move towards a world government. And that's the plan. But they don't want the American people to know that they control the media. And if you doubt that they control the media, you need to get the book, The New Media Monopoly, by Professor Bagdikian. You can get that from my ministry by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, six major corporations, certainly AOL, Time Warner, Bertelsmann, Viacom, Disney, Fox, and Comcast control the media, 90% of it. But you're not supposed to know that. You're supposed to think we're hearing both sides. We're not. They control the educational system. They lie to our children. They've taken God out of our schools. And then we wonder why we have all these stabbings and killings. Maybe we ought to have something in schools that like says, thou shalt not kill, like the Ten Commandments. No, they've removed God and morality from our schools. They intend to destroy America. But for the time being, they're using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government. And that's why we have troops in 130 nations. That's why we have 1,000 foreign military bases. And nobody's telling the American people. Well, that's what I do 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. We do need your help to maintain and expand our base of stations. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com, where you can see our videos. Listen to our radio programs on the Internet if you don't have a radio station locally. And then, of course, you can certainly watch the DVDs that we have. We want you to get the information. We want you to get it out to others. We hope that many of you, if you're in a position, will help to finance what we do. Because it's a very expensive proposition, maintaining all these stations. We can't do it without your help, but give us a call if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family. And if you're not in a position to join the Radio Liberty family, then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because this is a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And these people on the other side are Luciferian. They want to create a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and they want to destroy Christianity, which is why they've taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. That has nothing to do with the Constitution. It has to do with the fact that the Masons control the Supreme Court, and but nobody will tell you that. Has your minister ever told you that? Of course not. And basically, there is no wall of separation between church and state. That was something they found in a letter written by Thomas Jefferson. And if you read this, what Thomas Jefferson wrote, he believed in God, and he needed to need the religious foundation for a society. Maybe we ought to put God back in our schools so we wouldn't have the killing. Our number is 1-800-544-8927.